Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be your people and you be our God. We ask for your guidance this day as we celebrate this historic process of Christ entering into Jerusalem with a message about the kingdom of God he came to establish. And this day, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, my rock and my salvation. Amen. What we have just demonstrated with the choir coming in, the children, and the entire church singing and shouting Hosanna in the highest, and about Christ riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, set the stage for the trial, the suffering, and the death of Jesus Christ. The text from the Gospel of John states that Pilate, Pontius Pilate, yielded to the demands of the crowd to crucify Jesus Christ. The incident on the first Palm Sunday in Jerusalem was actually a fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having a salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. We could ask ourselves several questions this day. Why did Christ pick this particular day to do what he did? What was his message to the people that day? What were the consequences for doing what he did? And how do we interpret the actions of the crowd, the religious leaders, and the political powers that day? But let me begin with some contextual analysis. Jerusalem was the capital city of Palestine and a very important city in the days of Jesus. To Israel, Jerusalem was the center of the world where God dwells in the temple. The temple that hosts the Ark of the Covenant. Pilgrimages were frequent in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was also the administrative, economic, and cultural center of Palestine. The Roman administration under Pontius Pilate in the region was directed from the Caesars, the very Caesars who had successively divinized or called themselves sons of God. Rome, like the Western powers today, who depend on the Middle East for raw materials, depended on Jerusalem and Palestine for grain and other necessities. Jerusalem was economically and politically structured and situated to serve the interest of the Roman powers. Rome had imperial control over Jerusalem, the holy city of God. It also assumed security and control over the temple of God in the holy city of God. Jesus entered Jerusalem on the day of Passover, which was and is a very important day on the Jewish calendar. This Passover day is as important as the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ as important on the Christian calendar. The Jews celebrate the Passover feast to remember Israel's historic deliverance from Egypt. It was this Passover symbol that saw the death of the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. Furthermore, it was the death of the firstborn sons of the Egyptians and other circumstances that paved the way to let the people of Israel go from the land of Egypt as they crossed the Red Sea to their promised land. Whenever this feast was celebrated, and even today, I presume, the city of Jerusalem erupts into jubilations, power, and shout of joy. The feast of Passover is always celebrated in commemoration of what God has done for Israel in the past and probably continues to do for Israel in the moment. The population in Jerusalem will triple, and pilgrims from around the world will come to celebrate the peace of God. It was during this feast of Passover, a day Israel celebrates and remembers a freedom from captivity, the all-important day in the history of the Jews, that Jesus decided to enter Jerusalem and openly came in a different style, a different mood, with a different intention. Political analysts will say that Jesus went to Jerusalem to make two demonstrations. Firstly, to demonstrate against the Roman imperial control over the city of Jerusalem, the holy city of God. And secondly, to demonstrate against the Roman imperial control over the temple of God, which hosts the Ark of the Covenant of God. Everything about Israel and God were written and stored in the Ark of the Covenant of God. The Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of God among his people. This Palm Sunday, this day, this Passover day, two powers entered Jerusalem, and at the same time, with different intentions and motives. Jesus, on one hand, finding his way down to the temple to proclaim his messianic kingdom, and Pontius Pilate, on the other hand, who represent the Roman powers, to take strategic positions with his army to secure the city and try to keep hooligans from the streets, on the other hand. It was, as you may recall if you know your history, that it was the duty of the Roman governors to make sure that peace prevails in their sub-regions. And one of the days the Roman authorities keep an eye on, especially in the region of Jerusalem, was the day of the Passover, or the Passover feast. Jesus arranged his march on this day, because he knew the Roman powers would come out. Jesus knew the Caesars, who call themselves sons of God, would come out to take control of the city and guide the temple and also take care of the troublemakers. He knew the population of the city would triple.
He knew the top religious leaders will be in the temple to do what they always do. To Jesus, this was the perfect time to come out and show who he is to his people, to the Romans, to the powers that divide, and to the entire world. To Jesus, this was the perfect time to make a non-violent and peaceful demonstration that speaks to the powers that divide his people. He believed that was the perfect time he can speak openly to his people against the tyranny of the Roman Empire. Matthew, Mark, and Luke state that Jesus came down from the directions of Mount Olives. And here, Jesus may have done some of his ministries, like the raising of Lazarus, healing the blind, the sick, and casting out demons. Jesus may have garnished thousands of followers, supporters, well-wishers, and friends along the way from the directions of Mount Olives, coming down to Jerusalem that day. He arranged for a donkey, which represents peace. And as he sat on the donkey descending onto Jerusalem, word spread so fast, "Come and see the man who tells me everything that I have done. Come and see the man who heals the sick and raises the dead. Come and see the man who is going to take care of the Roman imperial structure and restore power to his people. Come and see the man who is our Savior. Come, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Come, Hosanna." This was the man the Jews were waiting for. And no doubt the crowd, a large crowd from around the region, came down to Jerusalem with him in anticipation of a riot to take over the Roman powers. But to their disappointment, that was not the intention or position of Jesus. The crowd saw a different Messiah whose intention is to come and show a different kingship and a different kingdom, a different man and a different person who represent God's kingdom on earth. Jesus marched peacefully. I believe if by then in Jerusalem, if there were a bottle of waters like this, he may have had a couple to drink and quench his thirst, like I'm doing. He marched peacefully through the city to the temple and took the religious leaders to tax and threw their businesses out of the temple. The Roman Pontius Pilate was supposedly around with his scores of army, probably overlooking the temple. There were no violent demonstrations, and so the army did nothing. And again, for fear of a bloody riot, they probably stayed back. As a naturalized immigrant and coming from one of the shithole countries, says our president, don't you think I could set myself up for trouble and subsequent deportation if I am to obstruct my president or governor and entourage of police and military personnel from using the street that passes through my church campus? These were some of the issues that set Jesus up for trial, arrest, suffering, and subsequent execution or crucifixion. And according to history and text, Jesus knew all about this. He knew about it. The Passion Week, which we start tomorrow, was set. The crowd dispersed to their different villages. They have seen the Messiah, but a different Messiah, and not the one they thought would bring salvation by overthrowing the Roman powers. Some commentators or preachers will say that the same group of people who said Hosanna in the highest this day are the same group of people who said crucify him on Friday. But inasmuch as this statement may be true to some extent, it is my personal view that Jesus or Jerusalem was overcrowded on that day. Friends may have come with Jesus from the countryside. Pilgrims, business people may have flocked into Jerusalem. These people could have been in the majority in the procession that day. These people could have been the one who said, Hosanna in the highest. These people may have gone to their different villages, to their different homes by the end of the day, after they have seen a different Messiah and not the one they thought could come to overthrow the Roman imperial structure. They may have finished their job. And now, in their absence, the time was perfect for some religious leaders who thought their religion and temple are in danger for destruction. Or then the political powers too may have thought that this is the perfect time to take care of that man who calls himself King of the Jews. Believe me, brothers and sisters, plan on the way. They may have used a small number or even paid people to step up to say, crucify him on Friday. This is very common in politics. Conspiracy, if you will call it. This narrative, brothers and sisters in Christ, is one of contrast in our Christian tradition. It is a story of a man who came as a lowly servant on a donkey and not on a prancing steed, not in a royal robe, but in a cloth of the poor, humbly representing the peasant populations of his time. Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the world not to conquer by force, but by love, grace, and mercy. Jesus did not enter Jerusalem with armies and splendor, but with lowliness and servanthood. Jesus conquered not kingdoms, territories, regions, but hearts and minds like me and you to take care of lives, to take care of the planet, and help those who cannot help themselves. His message that day was one of peace and peace with God. As a church, we exhibit such qualities of entry with open hearts, minds, and hands, as United Methodists would say. Reflecting further on this day reminds me of some political and religious characters whose beliefs and faith in non-violence protest and peaceful demonstrations for deconstruction and reconstruction of systemic issues caused their lives. Among these, Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King. Abraham Lincoln, commonly known as Honest Abe, was shot dead on Good Friday, April 14. He was one who fought to abolish human slavery and further worked hard to preserve the American Union that is in existence today. And while embarking on reconstructing and working on other issues that divide the nation, he was killed by a political assassin. Martin Luther King Jr., the superstar of the civil rights movement, believed in a non-violent and civil disobedience to push for desegregation, violence of voting rights and other civil rights of African Americans. White supremacists did all the cool, true bombing, beating, and murders like Rome did in the days of Jesus to maintain the status quo. He was shot on April 4th, 1968, 4 years after I was born. I do recall this event through the tears of my late father. With all this, brothers and sisters, with all this in mind, we see why the church should be the mouthpiece of the world and those it serves. As a church, we are called to follow the examples of Jesus, to speak for the voiceless, the marginalized, and to fight, eliminate all the vices and phobias that divide our communities. The phobias and the vices that divide the church and the world. The phobias that make people, that marginalize people. Local churches, including ours, have a lot to do in fighting systemic issues in our midst. As individuals, we have the mandate to fight for any cause that dehumanizes and intimidates others. We need to state the truth whenever we need to say it. We need to state the truth whenever the truth needs to be stated, wherever the truth needs to be stated, and in whatever circumstances this truth needs to be stated. Otherwise, we lose the quality of following Christ and being the church. The message of Palm Sunday, the message for today is that Christ identified himself openly as the Messiah, Son of God, and King in opposition to the assumed sons of God and kingship of the Roman imperial powers. This was a politically and spiritually motivated situation, no matter what you call it. Jesus himself encouraged that identification, and he suffered for this to death. As a church, a local church, individuals and group, we need to identify with Jesus politically, religiously, as the mouthpiece of what is wrong and what is right, no matter what the consequences are. Amen.